your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You are listening to another edition of Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we are bringing you all the latest, greatest news about the NHL. And specifically today, we're talking Western Conference on the aptly named Western Conference Wednesday. My name is Sarah Avampato. I am your host today. You can also hear me talking about the new home of the number two draft pick, Quentin Byfield, on Locked On Los Angeles Kings. That is where you can also find me. I have here with me today Tom Gazzola, who is our man in Edmonton, who does some other stuff for us here on Locked On NHL, talks about the Oilers and all that great stuff, and we're going to get right into it. But before we do, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, because Built Bar, it's pretty great. You can go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Now, all of that delicious snack aside, how's it going, Tom, now that we're past the draft, past free agency, and headed into the real weird season of hockey?
I know. It just feels like it's going to be quiet. It's almost like hockey's going to go dark, and it's very strange. And I mean, a time for us to kind of catch our breath. But you know what, Sarah? I honestly feel like there are going to be some moments where we will be talking about the game. I know a big thing will be made about when hockey actually comes back. We saw Gary Bettman say that January 1st is the new target date. So at least that's out there. Hopefully they get going by the 1st. And then, of course, training camps will probably be like a couple of weeks prior to the start of the first game. So, I mean, it's a very strange time, although it feels like we've been going a million miles an hour. Yet here we are kind of trying to figure out and wrap our heads around another strange moment in the calendar on top of all the strange moments on the calendar that we've experienced over the last 7.5 months.
Yeah, it has been just one weird thing after another. And free agency, I feel like, is always a little bit of a weird time anyway. It's either very slow or it's completely hectic. And there's always a whole bunch of moves that no one expected. And some of them are maybe a little more expected than others, a little more well-telegraphed, let's say, than some of the surprise moves we've seen in years past. One of those big moves that just happened recently that I think everyone knew was going to happen and was just waiting for the ink to dry on the contract was Vegas signing former St. Louis Blues captain Alex Pietrangelo, giving him a pretty great deal to put him in Las Vegas, gave him a no-move clause, so he is there for as long as he wants to be there. Vegas seemed to be pretty much the only home for him. I know there were kind of rumors of maybe Boston was looking, whatever, but Vegas was it. What do you make of this move, especially kind of given the way things seem to have fallen apart with St. Louis and Pietrangelo being able to get sort of a sense of stability with Vegas that maybe he didn't feel that St. Louis was offering him?
There's so much to unpack with the Pietrangelo deal in Vegas. And quite honestly, Sarah, I thought that he would likely wind up going back to St. Louis. You know, I thought he would sniff around, see what's out there. He was the big fish on the free agent market alongside Taylor Hall, obviously. And he was the prize catch because number one defenseman in their prime don't always go to market. So I thought for whatever reason, it just felt like the Blues were home to Alex Pietrangelo. We know he won a Stanley Cup there. He wore the C with pride there. And then all of a sudden Vegas comes in and swoops in and flashes that fancy gold jersey that they've just unveiled. And they show him all the glitz and glamour of the strip and downtown Vegas. But then, you know, there seems to be this way that the Golden Knights are able to blend the family lifestyle in Vegas and the suburb element of it. And as someone who has a home in the desert, albeit in Arizona, I understand the comforts of living and being in that area. It's always warm. You're never worried about the cold. And for some people, that's a big deal because, you know, especially for a Canadian kid, especially for someone who's played in St. Louis for a long time, here's a chance to go to a very exciting city on a tremendous hockey team that should be a Stanley Cup contender again next season with the addition of Alex Pietrangelo. And it just seems like every big free agent or every big player that's out there in trades, Vegas gets their little mitts in there and they seem to find a way to pluck these guys out of the jar kind of. And it's like the kid going for the cookies in the cookie jar, you know, and Vegas seems to come out on top all the time. So this is a huge, huge signing for them, but it has ramifications, the ripple effects. They had to trade away Paul Stastny and Nate Schmidt to this team. You know, Paul Stastny came in after going to the Winnipeg Jets at the deadline a couple of years ago. He's a solid contributor, but they needed to shed some money. And then Nate Schmidt, who's been a Golden Knight since being plucked off of the expansion draft from Washington, he's been one of the best, most entertaining and solid players on the ice for the Golden Knights. And he's a great interview, great character guy. And they had to get rid of him for peanuts on the dollar and send him to Vancouver. So they bolster their blue line, but they lose some key pieces. So it comes with a cost. And but still, you look at their up-and-coming defensemen. I know they really like Shea Theodore. They got Alec Martinez. They still have Braden McNabb and Nick Holden. Zach Whitecloud is starting to develop. This is a tremendous team, and Vegas is that setup, Sarah, I have to say. And I know, you know, to all the people that haven't had a chance to see a game there, it is absolutely wonderful. The atmosphere is second to none, and I can see why players are so drawn to the Golden Knights.
Yeah, and Shea Theodore is someone who Pietrangelo actually kind of mentioned as saying, you know, watching him play for Vegas kind of gave him the comfort that he and his own playing style would be a good fit there. So, you know, players are taking notice and watching what's going on the ice and who's getting minutes and how they're set up to succeed. And they're seeing that. And they're flocking to Vegas, who the joke on Twitter has basically been, does Vegas know that the salary cap exists? Because they somehow keep managing to land all these people without really, you know, having to give up a whole ton. You know, obviously losing Paul Stastny, losing Nate Schmidt are big deals, but they're moves that are making their team better anyway. Somehow, unimaginably, they're able to do it. And we're seeing teams like, it's very weird because Nate Schmidt is, his contract is not great if you look, you know, towards the end of it, but he was traded for a third round draft pick. Like that's not a whole ton. The return for Paul Stastny when they traded him to Vegas, Carl Dahlstrom, who I believe was on waivers last year, so he's not necessarily an everyday a player in the NHL, and a conditional fourth round pick. So I feel like this is maybe something that hockey Twitter and hockey fans and stuff blow up to be too much than it is, but you know, GMs are still helping Vegas out, and you could have very easily not made that deal and had them deal with their own cap struggles, but they're still able to make deals and unload players, and they don't really care that they're not getting a whole bunch back in return just because they need to clear the cap space. We've got more about the Vegas Golden Knights and their amazingly shrinking cap space coming up next. First, I want to tell you about a book that is out from the best-selling authors of The Daily Stoic comes The Ultimate Stoicism Guide to Success, Resilience, and Virtue. To accept what you cannot control and to adapt to what you can. Sports teams across the country are applying this popular philosophy by using Stoicism's key idea. You control how you respond and play. You don't control what the refs and fans do or how the ball bounces. It's about what you did to adapt. Lives of the Stoics, The Art of Living, from Zeno to Marcus Aurelius, is available now wherever books are sold. Also, Roman, let's talk about that too, because talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy for a lot of people. Usually it just gets brushed off or avoided or just, you know, it's not a thing. It's not a thing that anyone wants to talk about, but Roman makes it easy to talk about and to have those conversations. And you get set up with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. The whole process is simple, safe, and completely discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. If medication is deemed to be appropriate for you, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. Again, everything is super straightforward. You do it from your computer. You don't have to go anywhere. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and get it taken care of. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL.
And they've put themselves in this corner. They've really backed themselves into this corner, put themselves in this position. You're right. They're giving out tons of money to all these great players, but all of a sudden they're dealing with cap issues. And you mentioned the favor that Jim Benning did for Kelly McCrimmon and taking Nate Schmidt's contract off of him. But the other thing too is Jim Benning, after all he went through with losing so many key players, I know he was able to get Braden Holtby, but he loses Toffoli, he loses Tanev, he loses Markstrom, and so he needed to get something back. So he's dealing from a position of need, and it's you know, I'm sure if especially Pacific Division teams could put the skewers to the Golden Knights in any way they could, and that by not helping them on their cap issue, they would. But in the same breath, the Canucks had to do something to shore up and ice a competitive team again next year because they lost a ton of key pillars. And it feels to me, at least, like the Canucks, all that wonderful momentum that they built in the return to play, when they lost all those guys and the departure and everyone was waving goodbye as they were going to their new teams with their sweet new contracts, I thought Vancouver lost all that momentum that they had built up. So they needed to get some talent and some character back. And Nate Schmidt's a good deal for Vancouver. You're right about the third rounder. Let's get one thing clear and be perfectly honest about this era. It's like the Vegas Golden Knights still have cap issues. They have no cap space. They're over right now. They need to figure something out because right now they're still over as we speak and record this. It isn't all rosy for the Golden Knights right now.
Yeah, this is one of those reaping the consequences of their own actions, and they will find some team to offload some guy on, and everyone's going to be shocked and amazed at how that works. You did mention Vancouver, which is one of the things I've been keeping an eye on. I have a little bit of a vested interest because one of my former Kings, Tyler Toffoli, was traded to Vancouver, and everyone was kind of waiting to see, you know, was he going to be able to re-sign there, settle down, kind of re-jumpstart his career there. And instead, Vancouver wasn't able to sign him. They let Troy Stetcher walk, who is a pretty solid, you know, depth sort of option for defense. All I'm seeing from Vancouver fans is just a lot of concern. Like you said, they had a ton of momentum coming into the bubble, into the return to play stuff, and we're kind of finally starting to make noise as to being a team that was on the right path. And now the move to bring in Holtby is good and kind of clears a path for Thatcher Demko, who really kind of came into his own in the playoffs. But there's just a lot of really confusing moves happening in Vancouver, which makes me a little unsure as to what their plan is for the future, other than having Braden Holtby to expose in the Seattle draft, I guess.
That's right. We've got to keep that in our minds as we approach Seattle's debut in the National Hockey League. Yeah, and here's the other thing on top of that is we kind of knew that with the cap crunch, everything that COVID has done to throw a wrench into teams' plans, some teams would get pinched in all of this. And I think Vancouver is the perfect example of that. They didn't have a ton of money to go around. They lost guys. They didn't want to be willing to go the same route Jacob Markstrom wanted to go in terms of what the contract looked like and what the parameters around that specific contract for Markstrom would be going forward. So clearly he walks, he goes to Calgary. You mentioned Stetcher. Tanev also goes to Calgary. And you mentioned Toffoli, as we talked about. So I think Vancouver is one of these prime examples of what the COVID NHL can do and what kind of effect it'll have on teams where if you're not on top of it, or if your players are not in tune with what you want to do and they're looking out for their best interests, which 95% of the time they are, you could be caught in a jam and in a bad way real quick. And that's what Jim Benning found himself in, and where he's trying to, you know, he's losing all these great pieces, but he's trying to fill these holes that are being left behind. And all of a sudden, the fan base is scratching its collective mind and head going, what the heck just happened here? And some fan favorites are gone in an instant. And you have to now rally behind these new guys that have come in and hope that they can live up to the same expectation and deliver what the guys that were on their way out could do. And in the case of the Canucks, I like the Nate Schmidt trade. I like that they brought in a guy like him. He has a lot to offer still. Braden Holtby, I don't think he's quite as good as Jacob Markstrom, especially at this point in time. I don't think he is the Vezina candidate he was years ago, or Vezina trophy winner. I know he won a Jennings as well. His game has dipped a little bit. So it's good that they have Thatcher Demko behind him, and it looks like Thatcher Demko is ready to take the next step. And we'll see where that goes. And then up front, I mean, they still have some pretty good forwards, but there are some holes that have been created. And I feel like Vancouver, I quite honestly, Sarah, thought it would be Vegas, Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver, with Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver fighting for that second spot in the division. I think it might just be Edmonton and Calgary fighting for second in the division if there is a Pacific division and not a Canadian division next season.
Right. That's a whole other thing that no one knows the answer to. And yeah, I mean, is there going to be smaller bubbles? Is there going to be a Canadian division? Are Edmonton and Calgary just going to have to play each other 20 times a year, which would be great for Battle of Alberta fans, but probably not so great for those players who are going to get real sick of, everyone's going to get real sick of Matt Tkachuk, like, instantly.
Oh yeah. They hate him here. Trust me.
Well, Kings fans know all about, disliking him. So I think that the Kings would be perfectly happy not to have to play Calgary if there ends up being a Canadian division, which is, yeah, certainly something to keep an eye on, because we have no clue what next season is going to look like. And I don't think the NHL knows either.
That's fair. And a lot of it, I think, in the rumblings I'm hearing, you know, through my TSN colleagues and just talking to friends around the league and people that work around the league for certain organizations, it really does sound like it's a moving target, and that there's, you know, a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. There's all these contingencies in place. And the other thing too, Sarah, is the NHL is keeping a keen eye on what's going on in MLB in the postseason right now, as we've witnessed in the championship series, the NLCS and ALCS. We're seeing fans, at least in Texas, we saw fans back a small amount of fans in the stands, which is great, socially distanced, all that. We're seeing it in the NFL. So the NHL itself is watching what plays out in the NFL and MLB here. And that will go a long way in helping the NHL form and solidify its plan going into 2020-2021. As we go into this second or third wave of COVID, we'll see how this, let's call it an experiment in baseball and football, go. And that'll have a huge hand in helping the NHL lay out its plan of attack as well.
Yeah, that is definitely, I mean, as someone in the United States looking a little wistfully at Canada, who kind of seems to have all of this a little more solidly under control than parts of this country, but also knowing how important it is, especially for the NHL, to be able to have fans and get that revenue from people coming through the doors. Yeah, I think that is going to be a priority, no matter how good or bad of an idea it is to stick even a small number of people in a stadium together in an enclosed hockey arena. But I think especially in places like Texas, I think, you know, North Carolina with the Hurricanes is someplace that has opened up a lot more than some of the other areas like, you know, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York are all still very heavily restricting large gatherings. But I think the NHL has to keep hoping that that changes so they can at least get, you know, 1,000 season ticket holders in through the doors for each game.
Yeah, it's funny because you see like Florida opened up completely and the first day that Florida reopened, there's this bar in Fort Lauderdale called the Elbow Room, where when the draft was there in 2015, it was basically the NHL media hub. I saw a video, I think CNN posted a video of the Elbow Room at 10 a.m. when Florida had reopened everything, and it was just crammed, packed with people celebrating. And I mean, even here in Canada, Sarah, like we're starting to see an uptick in COVID, and there's some talk about implementing further restrictions as we get into the flu season. So it isn't all rosy, but you know, we'll see how things play out and just hope for that vaccine. And you're right, the NHL wants gate revenue coming in, but they have to play. Bottom line is they have to play. They have to, you know, claw back as much money as they can by playing the games, whether it's in closed buildings to the public or some fans coming in, but they need to play. They can't afford, literally can't afford to not play a season.
It would be the strangest reason for a delayed season or a canceled season or anything that, you know, we have all this labor peace because of the new collective bargaining agreement. So of course we're going to have something else continue to impact and more frustrating than CBA issues is that there's nothing anyone can do about this. It can't be like you have to go back to the bargaining table. There's nothing we can do but just sit back and wait and see what happens.
Oh, I think the poet Thomas Petty put it best. The waiting is the hardest part, Sarah.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we've got some thoughts on one more team that's making some pretty confusing moves in the offseason. That is next on Locked On NHL. First, though, if you haven't heard about Built Bar, where have you been? Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut varieties. You've got your choices like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, coconut almond, peanut butter, banana bread, orange, all sorts of great flavors. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are easy to chew. They're not gritty. They're not, you know, tough or dense or anything. They're just soft and fluffy and delicious, like eating a cloud or a marshmallow if you want a real food. They are healthy. They are all natural. They're great for you if you are someone who is health conscious, who's watching your diet, who's looking to lose weight while still having a great treat. They've got tons of protein, low sugar, low calories, and all sorts of great stuff so that you know that whatever you're eating is going to be good for your body. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Well, one more team to take a look at before we kind of wrap things up that sort of has perplexed me in their moves recently, and that is Chicago, because Chicago kind of wants to do a rebuild, but they don't want to do a rebuild because they still have their, you know, core players who they won't move. And yet they let Corey Crawford walk and go to New Jersey in a move that Crawford said that he was devastated by, that the Blackhawks didn't really negotiate with him. They traded Brandon Saad for and another player for Nikita Zadorov and also some other player in a move that everyone was like, people need to stop picking up the phone when Joe Sakic calls them because everyone loses trades with the Avalanche. Everything that they're doing is very confusing. And to me, it seems like it's a little bit of a team that has sort of no rudder, like no direction, because none of they're still trading for other players. They signed Matthias Janmark, who didn't re-sign in Dallas. They signed Lucas Walmark, who's a forward, who didn't sign in Florida. So they're still adding pieces, but they also want a youth movement, but they're also bringing in guys via trade. I have no idea what's happening there. And it drives me a little batty because it's just very unlike what we've seen from Chicago in their kind of cup years.
Understandable to scratch your head. And I think you're not the only one that's doing so right now when you look at the Chicago Blackhawks. And I think the other alarming thing too is that you're hearing Jonathan Toews speak out and say, hey, like, we didn't sign up for a rebuild here. We thought we were still coming in to win. We've got good young players up front. We have, you know, some pieces on the blue line that are still okay. I know it's not really their strong suit is the blue line, but you still have Duncan Keith in there. And now you have Boqvist, who's starting to work his way up as well. So it's interesting because to me, the first piece of this that said that it's going to be a strange time in Chicago was when they said that they were good between the pipes with Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia and Kevin Lankinen. And you go, really? That's where you're going in net is with a backup in Malcolm Subban, who's only played really behind a very strong Golden Knights team. And then Colin Delia, who's trying to find his way at the NHL level. And it's been kind of choppy waters for him because he's in a team that's kind of in flux and transition. And you're saying, okay, these are our guys in net. You trade away Brandon Saad. And it upsets your veterans who helped you win three Stanley Cups, a tremendous decade for the Chicago Blackhawks. It that's going to create dissension. And I don't know. This team, you know, are they coming? Are they going? If they can tread water next season, Sarah, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, it feels like the year they should have tried this was this past season with such a strong draft. And instead, to all onlookers, it really seems like they're just punting on the 2020-21 season, which I think it's a little too early to start looking at draft eligible players for that. But I am not getting any sense that it's going to be nearly as deep as this year.
No, not at all. You're right.
Lots of perplexing decisions all across the NHL. Lots of teams just trying to figure out where they go in a flat cap world. Any other kind of things that caught your eye or were a little more notable than usual?
Okay, Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall to Buffalo. Listen, I just want to say this. Good for him for, you know, trying to get as much money as he could. The 1 year, $8 million from the Sabres. And he's saying all the right things because he's a pro. He knows how to handle this situation. Maybe this blossoms into a wonderful relationship between the player and the city and team. But I just think he went for the cash grab. He's going to play really well. And then next year, he's going to go for another big contract. That's my guess as to what's going to happen. But him going to the Sabres, good on Ralph Kruger for helping to get Taylor Hall over there. Ralph Kruger is one of the best people I've ever met in the world, especially in the world of sports. And having the pleasure to deal with him for 3 years was absolutely tremendous. And he does have a profound impact on people. And he did play a part in getting Taylor Hall to decide on playing in Buffalo this season. So we'll see how it all plays out. Good get for the Sabres. Ralph Kruger, tremendous. And you know what? We might be talking about Taylor Hall signing somewhere else for a longer, bigger term and money situation this time next offseason.
Yeah. Best case scenario, Buffalo pulls it together and has a miraculous run and somehow turns into a great hockey team. Worst case scenario, he's sent somewhere else at the trade deadline. So I feel like either way, Taylor Hall's going to the playoffs next year, probably. Just probably not on Buffalo.
Oh, harsh. Writing them off already, are we?
Well, you know, they'll have their like 15 game streak at the beginning of the season where everyone's like, Buffalo's legit this year. And then something catastrophic will happen, which happens every year, it seems like. And every year there's just one thing that goes wrong. And then suddenly they've lost like 12 in a row.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, hot start. And then you're right. Just the season falls off a cliff. We'll see if Taylor Hall sticks it out. He did get the no trade, no movement clause, but you know, the player can always waive that if things go sideways in a hurry.
Yeah, I joke a little bit. I think that Buffalo deserves nice things. I've been up there for games and the fan base was everyone there was just absolutely lovely. Like they were honest about the state of their team. I was up there for a Kings game and it was, you know, the Kings were not doing particularly well. They were behind, you know, it was something like 3-0. And the gentleman next to me was like, oh, don't worry. By the third period, the Sabres will collapse. And what happens? The Sabres collapse. The Kings come back to win the game. So it's a fan base that is long suffering. And I'm not sad about them getting one nice thing, and that maybe that this will make their season a little different than the past seasons we've seen out of the Buffalo Sabres.
We shall see. Hey, you got to play the games to find out the results. So only time will tell.
That'll be fun to keep an eye on, and maybe you'll get some more people to tune into Sabres games to see what's up with Taylor Hall. But that's about it for today. To all of our weird, wonderful, strange moves out in the Western Conference, plus, you know, everyone wants to know what's up with Taylor Hall. For people who want to hear more from you to keep up with your coverage in the off-season part two, where can they find you online?
Oh, you can find me at Tom Gazzola on Twitter, and you can always tune in on iHeartRadio to TSN 1260 in Edmonton. Catch me every day just spewing the good stuff, Sarah, spewing the good stuff.
Excellent. Well, everyone out there, you can find me at Right Said Sarah on Twitter. That's W-R-I-T-E, Said Sarah with an H. You can find this show on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods to keep track of all the great things that are coming at you 5 days a week from our national show hosts. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. We're available wherever podcasts are found. Leave a rating, leave a review if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Tell a friend all about it, and keep an eye on your hockey team. They might do something weird over the next week. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.